Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as co-pastors for this community of faith, and we're grateful to be together. We are grateful this morning to welcome Mike Carroll. Mike is a pastor and colleague and friend of ours. Mike has been serving in the United Methodist Church in this area and has recently taken on a position at Pacific School of Religion, which is the seminary in Berkeley for the United Methodist Church, the United Church of Christ, and the Disciples Church as well. And so we're grateful to have Mike with us as Linda continues to find her way in the midst of her cancer journey. And she is midway through right now radiation, and we are grateful for that step and feeling hopeful and optimistic as she finds her way. I don't know about online, but here in person, we are also a late arriving crowd this morning as folks are in line to get coffee and tea and to make sure children are checked in. I'm going to invite those that are in this space to stand if you're willing and able. We're going to move together in worship. This is our music team sharing Wider Circles.
We are moving in wider circles.
Amen. Yes, indeed, it is a gift to be in this space, and I invite us to be seated as we continue to move in worship together. We are rooting our lives in this series in Jesus' call to do unto others. And so each Sunday during these 4 weeks, and this is our third, we're reflecting together on that very text. And so I invite those among us to take in this as a time of prayer and just a reflection on Jesus' call to us all. I am not in the right place, so I am going to acknowledge that, Mike. There are moments when you're on and there are moments when you're not. This would be a not. So instead, I'm going to invite us to stand back up. Oh, they say laughter is needed sometimes at ourselves to find our way in deeper relationship with others. And if it's not, we're in the midst of it anyways. So friends, let us move into a spirit of prayer together. I invite us with one voice to join our voices as we pray. Creator God, we ask you to come close and remind us of our belovedness as your children, for we are feeling distant. Open our eyes to the beauty and pain we all contain, and invite us to do unto others in ways that build up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the center that holds, and in the power of the Spirit that transforms. Amen. I will now invite us to be seated, and we're going to move into an arrangement of Be Thou My Vision, which comes to us from Omari, and this is an invitation just into the depth of prayer. It is a way of taking lyrics and music from a generation that has passed and bringing it into this very moment. And our musicians will actually share a concert here in October, and this and other pieces will be featured in that. So this is Omari's version of Be Thou My Vision. Let us move in a spirit of prayer.
Thou my true word, I am. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful.
I'm going to say just a couple words about this song. We've shared this one time in worship previously. It's a song that comes to us from Spencer La Jolla, and it's a song that invites us into the depth of prayer for one another and for the world. It is itself an invitation to live deeply in this call to do unto others. So I'm going to actually invite us to stand in body or spirit, and Maddie is going to guide us along with Hannah and just allow this song to be a prayer that washes over us.
Share of soul. has a sword against you in your heart, against you in your word. I pray that this prayer is a plowshare of swords.
Amen. I invite us to be seated, and Bob is going to guide us as we continue to move in this worship series with a reading from 1 Corinthians.
So before I begin, good morning, and at this time I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musician provides a little walking music. Our musicians help us every Sunday, and I want to remind families that we receive an offering in Godly Play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship, and Godly Play takes place upstairs at Design for Children in Elementary School, kinder through the sixth grade. As Matt said, our reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians. I'll be sharing from the Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, and each of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members, they do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, and there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together with that honor.
Good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you this morning. I actually attend here at the table on occasion, sometimes by myself, sometimes with my family, depending upon how much of a battle it seems it's going to be to get my teenage daughters up and out and here. So more often than not, I'm by myself. And I think it was about a year and a half ago, I've had one opportunity, I think, to be here in a preaching capacity about a year and a half ago. So it's good to be back in that context with you as well. One of the things that I always appreciate about preaching here at the table is how dialed in things are. Matt and Linda and I have known each other for probably 15-ish years, and they're always really good about, here's the theme we want you to use, here's the passage we want you to use, and I appreciate the focus of that and making sure that things are kind of in alignment week to week. But because I know them as well as I do, there's also a small part of me that sometimes wonders if there isn't an undercurrent of, let's see what he does with this one. Maybe I'm wrong. Might be a little paranoid, but I just want to name that. Luckily, normally, I'm up for a challenge. Don't mind a challenge. But of course, not all challenges are welcome. Not all challenges are invigorating or inspiring. Some challenges are heavy and burdensome and anxiety-producing in ways that are just hard. And I think for most of us, the challenge of navigating our common life over these past several years has tended to be one of those heavier, more burdensome, more stressful challenges. Our societal divisiveness and polarization has really become a prominent cultural talking point for us over the past several years. All kinds of media outlets kind of lift it up and discuss it, and name it, and bemoan it. Some, in my opinion, exacerbate it. There's all kinds of books that have been published in the last 5, 6, 7 years on the topic, seeking to try and understand what's underneath the division and the polarization, what are the root causes, and then analyzing the impacts of all of that, and how we can maybe begin to figure out how to move through it and come out on the other end of it in a somewhat healthy way, right? And it's become such a point of reference for us culturally that we even have folks that to me seem as disparate as Marsha McPhee and Adam Hamilton deciding that they need to collaborate together to create a worship series about it for people like us to utilize as a resource as we find our own way through the division and the polarization that exists around us. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime, most times, when I hear this topic being discussed, somewhere in that conversation, the topic of respect and disrespect gets referenced. Sometimes, as perhaps a root cause of the polarization and the division, a lack of respect being one of the root causes, sometimes it's lifted up as an effect, a consequence of the division and the polarization, right? But either way, it always seems to be in there, right? In some way, shape, or form. This focus on respect, or perhaps more accurately, lack of respect. And I can say for myself that at least anecdotally, in the course of living life and consuming different kinds of media, that there often seems to be a lot of people who feel disrespected a lot of the time. And that makes me wonder, that makes me curious. And the question that I ask myself is that because there is an objectively lesser degree of respect in our society? Or is it because the ways in which we think about respect and disrespect has shifted? And shifted in a way that is ultimately more narrowly self-serving. A couple of weeks ago, I was interacting with someone, wasn't anyone that I knew well at all, it was a professional interaction. And in the course of that interaction, I inquired of this person if they might be willing to kind of expedite their normal process. Right? You get what I mean. And wasn't anything earth-shattering. You know, it wasn't going to give me an advantage over somebody else. It wasn't going to create an unsafe situation. It was just going to, you know, save me a little time and a little inconvenience if they were willing to do that for me. And they said no. And I said, oh, okay, no worries, no problem. But internally, I was a little offended. And as I drove home, I found myself ruminating on this interaction. And when I got home, I told my wife the story of how I had been so blatantly disrespected by this guy. My wife listened to my story, as she always does. And then she said, you know, not being given special treatment isn't disrespect. And I thought, oh, I guess everybody's just going to be disrespectful today. If she was looking for a job, I would have referred her to this guy. They would have worked well together. It's as if our working definition of respect has become little more than the notion of being acquiesced to. Respect is about you acquiescing to my demands and expectations. If you give me what I want, when I want it, as I want it, if you tell me what I want to hear, then you have respected me. But if you're unable or unwilling to do that, and it really doesn't matter which it is, unable or unwilling, then you are guilty of disrespecting me. And if that has become, more often than not, our working definition of those terms, then of course, disrespect seems pervasive. We're gonna see it everywhere. Because friends, that's not how the world works, right? The world doesn't exist to cater to our demands. The people around us don't exist simply to feed the needs of our ego. And so if we're going around projecting disrespect all over the place, that serves to amp up the division and the polarization more and more and more and more. Paul's first letter to the Christian community in Corinth is his attempt to speak into a community in deep division that is profoundly polarized to the point of his concern regarding whether or not the community will even survive. It's that broken. They, as a common people, are that broken. And I think that's important to remember, because I think when we find ourselves in situations, again, that are hard, that are challenging, and that seem emotionally fraught, we have this tendency, all of us, to think, it's never been this bad. Or no one's ever been through something like this before. But of course, that's not true. Definitely not true in this situation. And Paul's letter to the Corinthians stands as a testimony to that, as a reminder to that, that people have been struggling since the very beginning of human society to figure out what it means to live a common life together in the midst of differences and divisions and polarizations, right? But in the particular passage that we have before us this morning from that first letter, we find Paul employing an analogy that was a very common analogy in the Greco-Roman world, using the human body, the physiological body, to talk about the communal body. But Paul uses it differently. Because the normal way that this analogy was used was to bolster and to support the hierarchical stratification of imperial Roman culture. It was an analogy that was meant to convey that, yes, yes, we're all one body. We all have a function. We all have a role to play. But some parts of the body are more important than others. The take-home message being, so know your place and stay there. Paul being true to the subversive countercultural roots of the early Christian movement takes that analogy and completely flips it. And in our passage this morning, what we hear Paul say is, we're all part of the body. We're all one body. We all have a role to play, a function to serve. And the parts of the body that are generally considered less important are the ones that we are going to esteem even higher. The parts of the body that we typically want to dismiss, hide, pretend don't exist, cover up, we're going to lift them up and make them visible so they can be seen. What we have in this passage, although I don't know that he ever uses the word, is Paul's working definition of respect. It's a definition rooted in the understanding that respect is about our willingness to see another, to hear another, our willingness to be curious enough to understand, or at least to ask, I wonder who that person is. I wonder why they think the way they do. I wonder what life experiences they've had that have led them to this moment and to this kind of representation of who they are. Respect isn't about acquiescing to demands. It's not even about being polite or nice. It's about, again, being willing to see and hear and be curious about the people around us. Doesn't even mean we have to like what we see or that we have to agree with what we hear. But we have to be willing to make the space, to give the time to do those things. So if that is Paul's working definition of respect, then what is his working definition of disrespect? Again, it's not rudeness. It's not being disagreeable. It's not even arguing with someone simply because you have a different point of view. Rather, disrespect is indifference. That person isn't worth my time, my energy, my attention, for whatever reason, right? Whether it's because of the political sign they have in their yard, whether it's because of that post we saw them put on social media, whether it's because of the favorite media outlet that they so frequently like to talk to us about, right? Whatever it is, disrespect in that context is indifference. And we hear that too in Paul's analogy. Because what Paul says is that the eye, which would have been considered one of the more prominent, one of the more valuable, esteemed parts of the body, The eye can't tell the hand or any other part of the body that it views as less than, that they're not necessary. The eye can't afford to be dismissive of all the other parts of the body that for one reason or another it feels aren't as important, because if that happens, guess what? Eventually, all you have is a disembodied eyeball rolling around on the ground. The same is true of us as a societal body, as a communal body. Ultimately, the point that I hear Paul trying to make in this passage is that we need to remember that we need one another for the body to function properly, for the body to thrive. We need one another. That's not always comfortable or fun, but we need one another. And maybe figuring out how we can better respect that truth is a step in the process toward the healing of our common life. Amen.
Today we are invited, as we are each Sunday here at the table, to come to the table as a reminder of where we encounter and experience the depth of true and deep and abiding relationship. This is a take on that same metaphor, the body as one loaf. We are one, all of us together in this space. And the church breaks that body as a reminder of the brokenness that our world experiences, as a reminder of the way that God is with and among us in the midst of that brokenness. And we do this as an act of remembering, like bringing back in every member that is not there to that one body. And so we move now as a community of faith ever deeper into this practice, reminded that this is a table of humility and compassion and respect in their deepest forms. That Jesus broke bread with those whose worldview didn't mirror his own, broke bread with those whose experiences and traditions were sometimes not just different, but opposed to him. He simply offered, though, a place to be together in the depth of what respect can be, that place of curiosity and wonder and truly sharing in life together. So as we prepare to come to this feast, we are called to acknowledge that our own relationships at their edges fray and are frayed, that we find ourselves in the midst of a brokenness needing to be transformed ourselves. The hurt that prevents us from welcoming others, even welcoming parts of ourselves, is acknowledged as one body that we might be transformed in and through the Spirit. So I invite you to stand in body or in spirit if you're willing or able. And Mike will help guide us through what the church calls this prayer of confession.
For all the ways we colonize each other with expectations, beliefs, judgments, and our own fear,
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
For all the ways we squander right relationship, choosing being right over relationship,
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
for all the ways we abuse our freedom, engaging hateful speech toward those not on our side.
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
For all the ways we deny equality and the belovedness of all, deeming some in and others out.
God, in your mercy, forgive and transform.
Jesus said, I have come to set the prisoner free. No matter what binds you this day, freedom is yours through the new life made known in Christ. In the name of the one who came to loose the chains, you are forgiven. The whole of God's creation is set free. Let us all share together in this good news.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, set free. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response which has become the way of the church throughout the generations to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of the Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those nearest you.
And a good and holy thing to give praise to God this day, creator of the cosmos, liberator of creation, mystery of the divine. You, God, unleashed your creative power and a world blossomed. You bestowed upon every living thing life and breath and color and movement, no matter how many battles we wage within and between ourselves and against you, your promise, your vision, your gift of peace and abundance continues. And so we lift up our voices in celebration of you, three in one, the divine dance in which we live and move and have our being.
Blessed is the gift made known in your child Jesus. To those who were imprisoned by status, law, illness, poverty, gender, age, and disease, he said, "You are set free. You are a child of God." He invited disciples, friends, and strangers alike to the table. He proclaimed God's grace to all with whom he broke bread. He proclaimed God's love to all with whom he shared the cup.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Yeah.
On that night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me. Invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart.
Loving God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, transform this meal and transform this body, that we might be free to love without condition, invite without hesitation, and go without reservation, proclaiming your kindness, your compassion, your respect to all the world. May the people of God say amen.
Amen.
I invite us to be seated here at the table and in United Methodist churches throughout the world. We practice what we call an open communion table. So each and every person is invited to join together in this meal. We will have here in front of us bread that was baked for us this weekend, and that'll be on the plate. We'll have two stations here in the front and one in the back of the sanctuary. In the middle of the plate is always an option for those who need something gluten-free, and in the cup, in our tradition, is always grape juice in hopes of ensuring that as many people might participate as feel moved. As Pastor Linda so often reminds us, we want you to hear most deeply and dearly that there is nothing you can do to make a mistake, that we will care for one another as we move about this space in the midst of God's divine dance. We invite you, as you feel led, to come to the prayer stations, the communion stations in the front of the sanctuary. There will also be one in the back of the sanctuary as well. Surrounding us in the sanctuary, you'll find candles that we invite you to be in a spirit of prayer, lighting candles for as long as you might need or desire. For those that are gathering with us online, we hope that you'll take this moment to find whatever you might use now for bread and for a cup to join us in this time of communion or common union. Friends, this is the bread of life, the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the whole world. Amen. we encourage those praying with candles to stay in a spirit of prayer for just as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, we give you thanks for the depth of your revelation to the world in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread and sharing from a cup. May your peace make us one, and may your love call us into the world as expressions of the healing and hope embodied in the way and the life of Jesus, in whom we place our hope. We offer this and our lives in your creative ways in many names. Amen.
Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously in support of our ministries here at the table. Your generosity helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply with God's fierce love for the world. Thank you for practicing your faith by giving generously. Rise Up Bread is available just outside the sanctuary. We have a number of ways for you to connect with others and reach in love in the coming weeks, which we'd like to share. We will gather for fall celebration at Table Farm from 5 to 6:30 on Thursday, October 10th. Omari and Rogue Music Project will host Miguel Connery, Elder Flora here in the sanctuary on Friday, October 11, 2024. Dawn Smith will host a communion bread baking workshop from 10 a.m. till noon on Saturday, October 19th at his home, and the same day, but in the afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m., Jen, Nelly, and Grandmothers for Reproductive Rights will host an intergeneration storytelling event and teaching in here at the table. Our music team band, Solabel, will be here for a concert at 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 26th. Save the date. Tickets will be on sale in the coming week. We'll celebrate baptism on October 27th. If you'd like to talk with our pastors about baptism for you or your family, please reach out through our website today. Finally, that's a lot of dates, right? Our co-pastors lead a six-week series we call Growing in Faith. This is a way to connect with others and learn more about how we practice faith here at the table. Registration is full for Growing in Faith series, which begins this Tuesday, September 24th. Our next Growing in Faith series will begin on November 12th. Learn more about all this and sign up on our website, thetableumc.org.
Thank you, Sarneet. All of those things are on our website. We commend that to you and hope you'll find ways that you might want to connect with others and reach in love. One other opportunity is Eric Castellanos, who has an art studio upstairs. Our building is used in so many different ways for ministry throughout the week, all of the time. And one of those is in a beautiful art studio that Eric has. And he was here yesterday, and there is an open house that started there a few minutes ago. So you could also make your way up to Eric's art studio and see some of the things that he's been working on. Our musicians are going to send us out. This is The Power of Kindness. I invite you to stand and join your voices as you feel led.
Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power. Ooh, I believe in the power of kindness. Ooh, I believe in the power. We don't know what's coming, but we can help shape what's ahead. With kindness as our currency, the commonwealth is in our hands. So give it a little, oh, give it life, don't stop.
Friends, may the mystery of God lead us from this place into the depths of doing unto others. May the light of God's love, the center of all that is, ground you in the assurance that in this moment and in all time, there is no one and anything that is outside of the bounds of God's love. So may the Spirit show forth in you extraordinary ways to express that care, that kindness, that love, and that respect with each and every neighbor. Go in peace.
I believe.